Chapter 118. Gringotts is a dangerous place. Fred gave them a spare copy of the twins' Gringotts key, saying it was stupid to access Harry's vault. Who knew who was monitoring that? The goblin accepted it from Ron with a quiet, "Ron Weasley for Fred and George Weasley's vault. I'm on their list." And the presentation of his wand as proof. Which was all going far too well, of course. It turned out that Gringotts had a waterfall that erased Polyjuice. The goblin manning their cart as it slid to a halt, coincidentally, had a very large axe. The alarm was particularly strident. "We're Polyjuice addicts!" Harry shouted. The goblin paused, axe still raised. The red light from the alarm flashed eerily across the cave. He eyed Harry, Hermione, and Ron, now revealed as their very damp selves. "Gringotts is neutral in wizard wars," the goblin said. "Then can we go to my brother's vault?" Ron asked. "Please?" "You are on the list," the goblin allowed, and a moment later the alarm faded and they sailed on. Harry was struck by the comfortable feeling of the caves, of the way the cart swooped and glided, the sleeping dragon in the distance. It felt like being home. "If I had something really secret, I'd hide it here," Ron said, admiring. "Core." Harry made frantic hand gestures at Hermione behind the goblin's back. Hermione, sadly, did not speak frantic hand gesture. "Do you think there's any chance of the goblins not remaining neutral?" Hermione asked the goblin, misinterpreting Harry wildly. Harry sighed and tried to feel if they were closer or further away from the looming, familiar feeling of evil. He got basically nothing. "If, when we win, the Ministry agreed to make restitution for past damages to goblin interests, or reconsidered wand legislation?" "This would not happen," the goblin said shortly. "I don't see why not," she plowed on. "If suitable contracts were made, we rather intend to take over the Ministry once the war is over, using Harry's position as a stepping stone." Ron mouthed, "We do?" And Harry shrugged helplessly. "I've been involved in a society for the promotion of house elf welfare for many years now," Hermione continued to the goblin's stony silence. "And I think there's a great deal of room for improvement in wizarding relations to other magical species."
"Wizards. Selfish."
"I'm sorry?"
"You think all goblins care about is wands, little girl?"
"Do you not? In History of Magic, we were taught that I'm not sure what you called the recent wars."
"Wands are a symbol of wizard arrogance, wizard greed. We care about your greed."
"You make a great deal of money from our greed, too," Hermione countered.
The goblin grinned at her, toothy and unrelenting.
"Please, I would like to understand," she said coaxingly. "Is there a book on the subject that I could read?"
They plunged down a dizzying incline, and Ron and Harry yelped. Hermione, on the trail of knowledge she didn't already have, didn't even notice, gaze firm and intent on the goblin Sourfang. "It is not long enough for a book," the goblin said shortly. "Wizards are thieves."
"I don't understand."
"Your classes do teach that goblins are the master craftsmen of the world. We make. Wizards pay for the use, and then they steal."
"I'm sorry, they buy it and then they steal it?"
"No.
They rent it and then they steal it."
This went around and around for a few minutes, and Harry began to suspect the goblin of stalling them by taking them along an extended path. He checked his wand, because if they were going to have to break out of a bank while fighting Death Eaters, well, they'd break out of a bank while fighting Death Eaters, he supposed.
"Oh, you mean they lease the weapons and jewelry and so on, and then don't return them? Why didn't you just say so? Can't you take them to court to retrieve the items?"
"Wizard courts. Wizard laws."
"Surely wizard laws include the concepts of leases," Hermione protested. "Muggle law includes tons of leases. Everyone leases their land from the crown, after all."
"Wizards," the goblin said in a dangerous tone. Do not obey contracts. Hermione scowled furiously at the cavern ceiling. When I'm Minister of Magic, she said, after a furious pause, I'm asking goblins to take over the court system as well. Honestly, between this and imprisoning people without trials and it's all so silly. How does anyone ever get anything done? Wizards, the goblin said, ears perking up for the first time in this conversation, do not get things done. They squabble and they play tricks and they breed. There are books about what the magical economy was like before we took it over. He grinned toothily. It was silly. Merlin, Hermione said with feeling. Harry patted her shoulder tentatively. Hermione, we can't fix everything today. Come on, we need to get on with our errands. He gave the goblin a narrow-eyed look. I'm sure the vault isn't much further. The goblin flicked an ear in acknowledgement. And indeed, it seemed the vault was just around the bend. Magically! Maybe frantic hand signals had their place after all. Harry had the feeling that if Hermione wasn't so big-hearted, so prone to thinking the best of things with sharp teeth and sharper ideas, they would have been a big old let's-get-along present for Voldemort. Instead, they left the goblin outside the vault, watching them as if they were tasty little lambs, ripe for the plucking. Harry was probably mixing his metaphors. On the other hand, he knew a predator when he saw one.